Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of Learn With Us. Today, I'm delighted to announce that we have Basarat, also known as Mr. Typescript, on the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you very much.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show because I've been following your work for a while and also been using your documentation on TypeScript to help me through the work sometimes.
Oh, that's very generous of you.
So I originally got into TypeScript around 2012, but I was just sort of dabbling on it, making a Space Invaders game. But I see that you basically decided to jump right in there and sort of dedicate your whole professional, a large part of your professional career around it. I was just wondering what made you decide to make that step in the early days?
So I was already on Stack Overflow and quite active on that. And the top contributor for any language on Stack Overflow was John Skeet. He's the contributor for Java and C Sharp. But when I saw that Microsoft was announcing a new language, I was sure that there were going to be questions about it that wouldn't be something that a lot of people would be able to answer. So I decided to read the language spec, see what was there, and then started to help people out on Stack Overflow. So that's what got me interested, just to be a top contributor on some language on Stack Overflow.
That was a wise choice, early adopter. A bit of a risk because we never knew how popular TypeScript would get, but now it's really taking over the world.
Yes, so it was a safe risk because it was supported by an enterprise, by Microsoft, and they have a legacy of building and supporting languages. So I was sure that there was going to be some ecosystem. Even if it wasn't going to be a community ecosystem, there was going to be a Microsoft ecosystem around it.
Mm-hmm. I guess it must have been quite hard the first few years to get that traction, to the motivation to keep spending so much time on the topic.
Yes. Fortunately, TypeScript is not that different from JavaScript. So mostly what you write with TypeScript is actually JavaScript, just with annotations thrown in. So your experience does transfer easily, even if TypeScript were not to succeed. But at my workplace, I was using TypeScript, and it was quite an enjoyable workplace. And the people that I were interacting with, they all liked TypeScript quite a lot as well. So within my particular circle, it wasn't that sad that it wasn't as widely adopted globally as it is now.
Okay, and what kind of application web stack were you building with it?
So at that place, it was C#, F#, .NET backend, and TypeScript, Angular, JS. Angular 2 wasn't out and React wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. So an Angular JS frontend.
Okay. Was TypeScript like an official supporter of Angular then, or vice versa? Or was just people open sourcing type definitions?
So it wasn't actively supported. However, definitely typed, which is the place for TypeScript definitions, already existed. That actually became a thing like within 2 months of TypeScript getting announced. And someone already had posted, actually Boris Yankov, the creator of definitely typed, had posted AngularJS definitions on it already. Mm-hmm. But I did have to come up with patterns on how to use TypeScript and AngularJS effectively, and actually got mentioned from Brad Green from Google about, hey, if you want to use AngularJS and TypeScript, here's a video by this guy.
Okay, nice one. So you're quite well known amongst anyone who has done TypeScript, but maybe people don't know about where you came from in terms of your academic history and previous work experience. I think it would be interesting for us to know a bit more about you.
So I've always known that I was going to become an engineer. Three of my siblings are engineers. One's a civil engineer, two are electrical engineers. It was just a matter of what kind of engineering I would be doing. And within that, the immediate elder sibling was programming some stuff with BASIC on his calculator, and like a younger sibling, I just wanted to copy him. So mm-hmm. I started playing around, and I knew that I wanted to do programming. However, it wasn't that popular where I was growing up, so I did do telecommunications as my bachelor's. But even within my bachelor's, I was much more strongly interested in the code side of development instead of the hardware side, which is what most electrical engineers work on.
Yeah.
And then, yep.
On you go.
And then after graduation at my job, I was using a lot of C# and Python just to automate the stuff that other telecommunication engineers were constantly running like terminal scripts on. I built a nice UI on top of that to like, so you don't have to send 5 commands to do a single task. And then did my master's in software and being a software engineer since.
Great. And how long were you a professional software engineer before TypeScript came out?
5 years.
Okay.
I would say.
Quite similar to me then. That's interesting. Because I started the TypeScript journey about 2011, 2012. But yeah, I didn't jump into it straight as much, you know.
Yeah, so 2012 was when it was announced, and so you're an early adopter as well.
Yeah, I've got lots of thoughts about TypeScript. I was like the last 2 or 3 years I've been like promoting it as much as I can. I created a little npm repository called vanilla-typescript, and that's for creating vanilla JS components. I think it's only used by 2 people, myself. I'll leave a link in that. You can have a check out, see if you like. So
nice.
One thing that surprised me a lot is that in London, I do quite a bit of React contracting, and every single one of the contracts has been TypeScript. They want React and TypeScript.
Nice. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's... It's nice because you get to write not have to write prop types, and you can just write your interfaces and pass them around. Have you got much experience with React and TypeScript?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of React and a big promoter of the React TypeScript ecosystem. There's one more thing that I throw in the mix, which is Mobex. But yeah, that's my favorite stack. And like Angular adopted TypeScript as its de facto language, but Angular HTML is still not in TypeScript, whereas with React and TypeScript, all your code base can be powered by the TypeScript tooling, so you can do a refactor with a single language service instead of having to mess with HTML files and TS files and then maybe some other form of CSS files.
Yeah, it does take a while to learn to write templates and the sort of TSX format, you know, but once you get really good at it, then you can write a lot of logic and not have to remember any templating specifics.
Yep. The best way to think of JSX and TSX is that you are returning just an object. So think of returning an object with the property foo. Well, the property has to be an expression. It can't be a statement of any form. Like, it can't be an if-else. It has to be an expression. So you could use a ternary there. You could use a map, or an array map if you have a list of items. It's just that constant concept of expressions versus statements. An expression is something that can be assigned to a variable. Let's say let foo equals. Anything that can be put on the right-hand side, that is the kind of stuff that you can put in JSX and TSX.
Yeah.
And that's what confuses beginners, is that they think that, oh, I'm in code mode, I can write any code.
Yeah.
No, you're in expression mode. You can write any expression, and it must be an expression that is something renderable in the DOM.
Yeah, it's kind of sometimes you have to think about it. If you want to write something like a switch statement, you have to sort of create another render function and pass it in. Some people will either love or hate it. And when did the contrary?
I find that it helps greatly with refactoring. Just you would have the same problem if you were using Angular templates or any other templating HTML templating language. You would have to probably either create a new component for something like that. Whereas with TypeScript and JSX, you can create a simple render function or whatever you want to call this function that returns particular segments for the UI.
Yeah. There's one of the biggest voices against TypeScript is a guy called Elliot. What's his name? Eric Elliot or something like
Eric Elliot, yeah.
Yeah, and he wrote a really hard-hitting article called The TypeScript Tax. And that really threw me because he had some really good arguments. But basically what he was saying is that as long as you've got really good unit testing, in a sense, you don't really need TypeScript. He was saying overall, and I'm not quite sure, because one thing that TypeScript is really good for is when you're using an SDK that you're not familiar with. So when I first started using something like serverless or like an API for like Google or Amazon Cloud, you don't have to remember all the parameters. You can just sort of control P and you know exactly what you're putting in there.
So I do have a lot of respect for Eric Kelly specifically. He has this enterprise called JS Homes. He's doing something for homeless people in San Francisco. But this particular article and his hate for TypeScript, I actually don't understand. A lot of people within the TypeScript community disagree with that article as well, as you do. It definitely helps with developer productivity. I understand, I guess his concern is someone else controlling your code, whereas JavaScript is very much free for everyone and not controlled by a single enterprise. But then again, this Microsoft is not the Microsoft that people used to hate.
Yeah.
And all of TypeScript is open source. It's not locking you in into anything.
I tried my first JavaScript app in a while, because all I've been doing is TypeScript. All my open source stuff is pretty much TypeScript. And I went to Vue and tried to make an app using just Vue vanilla JavaScript. And what I found is that I was so used to having the typing, but there is sort of some Italian sense now with JavaScript, but it's sort of hit and miss with the IDE. It's sort of, you have to tell it first time and then it sort of remembers, you know. If I was making something really complicated, like I was trying to make a real-time strategy game back in the day, and it's still open source, but I just haven't had the time to take it where I want to take it. I was using Babylon.js, and that was just essential for me to use TypeScript. But for simple websites, probably you can get away with just using JavaScript, you know. So
yeah, a lot of the simple websites, single pages, not multi-page in a single page, like just a landing page, you don't need a lot of JavaScript. And with digital design, the pages get refactored and like redone so commonly that you could do it in a single JS file. But for anything of scale, you definitely need TypeScript, in my opinion.
Cool. So I guess you're, in a sense, most of your time now is involved in TypeScript, or have you got any other business ventures going on at the same time?
So it's mostly React and TypeScript. These are my two key focuses. I'm actually quite busy with a few things at my workplace, as well as I have a few open source ideas that I need to do, but they're all around React and TypeScript.
What's your biggest, most followed open source project?
And that would be the TypeScript book, I guess. That's 7,000 stars.
Yeah, and then next one.
So there's TypeStyle, which has 3,000, and then there's ALM Tools, which also got 2,000, and then there's lots of little ones that are at 1,000.
Yeah, I'd love to have an open source project with 1,000. My biggest one is Test Recorder, which is written in TypeScript, which records end to end tests. It uses my vanilla TypeScript interfaces, but I want to try and spend some more time in that, add some more maybe some Cypress code generation stuff.
Yeah, that would actually help. Cypress is pretty much taking over the world right now.
Really?
Yeah. So I actually presented Cypress at Holy JS a few months back in Russia, and I'm giving a workshop on Cypress with the Cypress team and here in Melbourne in September.
One thing I find is that TypeScript, it starts off quite simple, but as you get more and more into it, the concepts are becoming really complicated, and really the people start, you know, like invent a lot of the types for, say, Redux and React. Mm-hmm. You're just some really clever people of what you can do with, you know.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's starting to become a bit too complicated, and you can find complicated code in even the simplest of systems, and people. Code rarely reflects what your intention would be if someone does it poorly. Like, pick and exclude, when you combine them, you get the concept of omitting a property from an object. Mm-hmm. But if you don't call the generated type omit and you try to put these pick and excludes inside of another nested type without documenting what you're actually doing there, mm-hmm. then it can become quite complicated. And I have seen that in code bases, even here in Australia Post, where I work. But what you do is you refactor it into simpler things and try to build on nouns instead of just a massive pile of, okay, I wanted a field, so here's how I've done a field. Well, move some of these concepts out of the field so that we understand the, okay, you're trying to omit properties over here kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. About a year ago, I started giving talks in TypeScript, and I was just reading through the change log, and mm-hmm. eventually I just stopped adding to my slides because I was finding it hard to even just keep up to date with all the changes that and new features that TypeScript have, and I haven't really looked at the latest thing that TypeScript offers. It's just, there's so much to get through to you know. It's
yes, I definitely agree. In terms of advanced types, there's this page called Advanced Types if you on the TypeScript handbook, and mm-hmm. there's a joke within my team that any search on TypeScript either results in an answer by Bastard or lands you on advanced types. And it's got stuff like lookup types and then map types and then conditional types. It's a bit much. I like union types and intersection types by themselves were also fairly complicated when they were introduced. Mm-hmm. They weren't complicated concepts, but unions were not something that the average developer were familiar with. If someone's done functional programming, they would be familiar with it, but outside of functional programming, it wasn't a common concept. Mm-hmm. And some of these new map types and conditional types are really concepts that don't exist in multiple other languages. Mm-hmm. And then there is like little hacks, like if you use the never type, you can actually delete a property. Whereas like by definition of the never type, this particular fact isn't documented that well, mm-hmm. as in it doesn't exist in any documentation out there, but it exists in some GitHub comments somewhere. And I need to write a second version of the TypeScript deep dive, but that's one of the things that are on my plate. I'll eventually do that.
Yeah, I need to spend more time on that book myself. Because sometimes you look at some code that for types and it's just a bit too hard to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. Explain what a never is again, how that works.
So the objective of never is if you end up in... Well, when you add conditional flow to your code base, conditional flow meaning that you understand that this particular condition, this particular if statement implies that the body changes the type of whatever is used in the predicate in the if. For example, if foo equals null, it knows that within the body of this if statement, foo must be null.
Okay.
Sometimes within this code flow, you end up in a state where the compiler can be sure that this can never happen. Example, foo is something that is string or a number. You do if type of foo is string, else, if type of foo is number, else. Now, within this second else, TypeScript knows that foo must be a string or a number, so there is no way that this else is going to occur. If you try to access foo within this else, it has to give it some type, so it gives it the never type. And now, the never type comes with a few restrictions. The one of them is that a never can only be ever assigned to another never. So if you do const bar is equal to bar of type string is equal to foo, TypeScript will complain foo is never, whereas bar is string, so I cannot assign to it. It allows you to do exhaustive checks. Like this is an example of how you would do an exhaustive check. Within this last else, you would say const bar of type never is equal to foo. Now, if at any point foo does not become never, then this statement will start to give an error. An example of that would be foo is of type string or number or regex. Now, within this last else, TypeScript will infer that because it's not a string, not a number, therefore it must be a regex, and it will start complaining, const bar of type never is being assigned to a regex. So it allows you to do these. These are called exhaustive checks. Basically, within the type system, you can write code to make sure that all cases are handled.
Okay, I think I've got about 70% of that, but I will go to your website to refresh myself.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to do without code in front of your face.
I think one of the things that Elliot was saying in his article was that it can be a bit hard to recruit TypeScript skills. Do you think it's quite difficult?
No, so actually it's quite helpful because we have saying that TypeScript is like Anders, the creator of TypeScript, guiding your hand while you write JavaScript. Mm. And one of the first issues that anybody who does TypeScript finds will almost definitely be some JavaScript code that they've done wrong, and TypeScript is actually complaining that this is probably going to be an error. Mm-hmm. Someone thinks that this property would be present, but TypeScript is complaining, it might be undefined, kind of would be an example.
Okay. So moving on, what is in the last 6 months, the features of TypeScript that are new, you're most excited about?
Everything in the advanced type section. So conditional types are actually quite impressive. They definitely need a lot more documentation. Math types have got options for like removing or adding read-only from properties. That needs more documentation. In terms of feature set, and I've actually taken this mindset now of the TypeScript team is maintaining the TypeScript language, and they're maintaining the tests and innovating to solve problems in JavaScript code bases out there. Mm-hmm. And now it's up to me and us to write the documentation on how these things can be used.
Yeah, their core team, like I've looked at some of the pull requests on the TypeScript code base, mm-hmm. by I think like Daniel, one of the guys, and they're just mm-hmm. massive pull requests, and like it's like how do you even start getting to be a contributor on the TypeScript core, you know? Like.
Yeah, so I used to contribute quite heavily, not quite heavily, but I used to look at all those pull requests and did contribute my share of some features. Mm-hmm. But it is at the point where the TypeScript team does an excellent job of doing features and fixing bugs. Mm-hmm. It's the community work that they need help with.
Yeah. Yeah, TypeScript is...
It's organized as a very different from a lot of other projects out there. And that's to be expected because it is a compiler. Most projects aren't a compiler. And plus it's a language service. An example of something that makes, in my opinion, a bit hard to work on the code base is the checker.ts. The checker is what actually does all the type checking within TypeScript, and I think it's like a 10,000 line file or something like that by now. And if you aren't guided into the code base, it's hard to get into it. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer for that other than I have written compiler docs about the TypeScript compiler within TypeScript deep dive, mm-hmm. which explain the basic concept. For example, it will explain what the checker is. But the code changes so significantly that the language is evolving, and for the language evolving, the code needs to evolve, that if you're not a part of the team or not looking at all the pull requests, it can be a bit daunting. But they're actually quite helpful if you ask for questions. That's definitely true. Mm-hmm. And my experience with them has been quite nice.
One of my open issues is still up there about TypeScript emitting a .js file extension for modules that can be loaded in the browser. And I think it's issue number 16577. It's still open. Mm-hmm. Let me just ping you it here on the chat. I love it when I put an issue up and it just, it's almost like a viral issue, you know, like 88 thumbs up and all this stuff. And you can maybe you've seen that one or not, but
I actually haven't seen that.
I'll leave it in the show notes so people can check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to someone who's never done TypeScript before, but they're a web developer and they'd like to get started?
Just start using it. So if you already know JS, change your JS file to a TS file and start using it. An interesting fact is that a lot of developers are using VS Code as their day-to-day thing, and all the JavaScript tooling within VS Code is actually powered by TypeScript. So they are already using TypeScript, they're just not using it to its full potential. And that is what TS file extension is. It is your opportunity to talk to the JavaScript tooling and help it help you better.
Cool. So if, say, somebody wants to contact you and hire you for some consulting or something like that, how would they go about it?
I'll just visit my website, bastard.com, or contact me on Twitter. Twitter is like my main form of communication for professional.
And what sort of things are the most commonly asked of you? Like, are the people wanting just training, or is it just maybe they're stuck in a bug or something?
It's most commonly someone who's stuck in a bug. I'm actually the top contributor for TypeScript on Stack Overflow, so that's how people mostly find me. And they just, the best of them will actually post a question on Stack Overflow and then send me a link. I have this question, hope you can help.
Yeah.
But sometimes people just message me the issue as well, like just in line within the messages. And I'm fine with that. That's what I use my Twitter for. And that's the contract that I have on that. But just twitter.com/Besserit.
So how do you manage your time and choose what to support? Because there's only so many hours in a day.
Yes, definitely. I don't actually get that many messages. So, like, I scroll through, someone's followed me or someone's retweeted me or liked any of my stuff. I only look at when someone mentions me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They tend to go in a queue. So it gets, those notifications also get emailed to me. Uh-huh. So they sit in my Gmail inbox if it's something that I'm going to go back to. And it's like 5 queries a day. And I normally go through them quite fast.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is actually quite easy as well. It is practice lead, which means thought working. So essentially when I'm helping the world, helping other developers within our team as well, it's all the same.
Yeah, it must be good for you, for any company you work with, to know that you're on a team. You probably attract people that way, you know, being like a rock star, you know, and then a coding team world, you know. Let's see.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So we're getting close to the half an hour mark. I was just wondering if you had any more thoughts you'd want to share about the TypeScript community, or where you see yourself in the next few years, or even TypeScript, where you think it's going.
So TypeScript's on a massive growth trajectory. I'm really proud of what the team has achieved. In terms of front end, React has pretty much taken over the world. And I'm glad to hear that most of the React developers in your ecosystem are using TypeScript as well. Actually, on the JS survey for this year, 25% of the people who were using React were actually using it with TypeScript. That's not an insignificant number, especially considering that React doesn't ship with TypeScript definitions. Someone is actually going on and installing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need some form of static tooling for JavaScript, right? And within that, your two main options are TypeScript and Flow. And Flow has one key differentiator there is that Flow is written in a language that isn't Flow, so it's written in a form of OCaml, whereas TypeScript is written in TypeScript. It just makes the developers that are working on TypeScript, even if that's not me or you, it makes their life better because they get to see the rewards of their hard work. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're building JavaScript tooling using OCaml, you don't get to see the rewards of improved tooling for someone else in your own workflow.
Mm-hmm.
So TypeScript has a bright future. It's big in the React community. React has a bright future. In terms of my five-year plan, I tend to think of objectives. And my current objective is building some form of React TypeScript tooling. Mm-hmm. I did ALM Tools, which was an IDE for TypeScript. But then VS Code has pretty much taken over the marketplace. So I don't see the need for anything open source that competes with that at any level. So mm-hmm. I've taken the best parts of ALM Tools and actually moved them into a plugin for VS Code called TypeScript God. Which gives you like complete error analysis, lets you run a file on the fly, lets you start a Webpack instance on a TSX file if you want to just to preview a file.
Wow.
Stuff like little neat utilities like that in there. But other than that, I want to build some form of React plus TypeScript specific tooling. And I have a few ideas around that, but that's something that I have to do. One objective. The other one is to write some form of better TypeScript documentation. That's objective number two. And probably another thing that I want to write about is TypeScript and React, but that's like the third thing in the queue.
Okay.
But yeah, just focusing on objectives.
Those are good goals. Good goals, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that about wraps it up. I just want to say thank you very much again for coming on the show. And I'm sure you'll get a lot of lessons. And thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks.
Thank you so much.